This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Jessica, how you feeling? People want to know, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's been a
really,
good week.
Really, really? I'm looking
yeah,
at
I
you.
Really,
you
really,
look good.
I mean, I look okay, right? I don't
you
know.
Do. You do.
I look
I
pretty
would
good.
I would say so.
Yeah,
if you
I'm
didn't.
feeling good. I'm feeling
Good.
good. And I'm doing all the things I normally do and busy with my kids. So that's really great. I'm grateful that I have energy and I'm able to keep up with all of the things that are going on this fall. It's been busy. I have a couple of kids who have birthdays next week and homecoming's coming up. So it's a full couple of weeks for us.
I know there's a lot of parents that know what you're talking about.
Yes, it's busy. So I have been thinking, and we also get comments and questions from our listeners. And there is always this question, and I want to answer it. It is answered in your new book that's coming out, Feeding the Mouth That Bites You. It's coming out on November 5th, and you can order it, if you haven't already, from Amazon or other booksellers. So give Dr. Ken a shout out just about his book. I think it's so great, and I'm excited about it. But one question that we get is, okay, so I've tried Feeding the Mouth Principles. I've tried this planned emancipation, and it's just not working.
That's right.
My kid is still going off the rails and they're still doing the things that, you know, I'd hoped that once I gave them a freedom, they would choose something differently.
Yeah,
and
so much so.
Way.
Well, and you and I have talked about this. It bugs me so much because I hate when parents are disappointed and continually frustrated, you know, because as we mentioned a couple episodes ago, you know, I just hate that parents are so burdened. So now, in the second edition, that chapter 8 is now just called When Planned Emancipation Doesn't Work. Like, what does that even mean? And because, like you say, I hate it too when you hear from a parent that said, yeah, we tried that and it didn't work. Well, there's a few things to think about. That the first one is, and it can't say it enough, what is it that parents were expecting when you initiate planned emancipation, which, by the way, is begun with a freedoms list. I know that listeners may think, yeah, we know that. Not necessarily. You'd be surprised how often parents will come to my office and say, yeah, we're doing that. Good. What did you put on the freedoms list? Freedoms list? Yeah, that's step one. Some kind of an announcement that we now see you as an adult. You're a young adult, you're impoverished, but you're still an adult, and we are working our way out of your life. That's a freedoms list. But when you do start it, my first question is, well, you know, kind of if it didn't work, what were you thinking it would work? Because I can't, again, I will repeat again, this is not a backdoor technique that will unlock your teenager's secret success. And everything goes great. So ironically, you and I are used to when someone says it doesn't work. Every once in a while, a parent, just this week, I had a parent telling me this was so great. We backed off of our son's, I think it was their son, our middle son's homework. You know, we would battle about it. We let that go a year and a half ago, and his grades have been great. And I stopped her right there. So I go, wait. That isn't just because of planned emancipation. That's your son. Your goal was to let go of this, but there was no guarantee that his grades would get better if you let go of it. It was that your helping wasn't helping and it was making things worse. And you could just see the glaze in this mother's eyes, like, yeah, yeah, but his grades are good. You know, so sometimes I'm like, wait, wait, wait. I'm glad it was successful, but that's not even what you need to expect, is that you are doing your part in correcting the culture in your home. And we are clearly telling these young adults, we are backing out of your life. That's what to expect. As far as their response to it, again, last time I say it until I say it again, which is you don't expect a magic bullet that causes your teenager to be happy and successful. There is no such thing. And feeding them out that bites you is no exception to that. Nothing gives you that.
I love, Dr. Kennett, you're not accepting the blame, and you're also not accepting, you know, the good things that come from.
Yeah, right.
Kids.
Yeah,
I know. You're not taking credit for
this
either.
This was great. Okay, I'd love to say so. Yeah, it cleared up his acne. It was. I'm like, whoa, that's not me.
No, and you know what? I think that mom might actually have, you know, a third child or someone behind that, and they give that same
exact
freedom, and it does not turn out as well.
And suddenly, thinking,
and it doesn't work on this kid. We're not doing this
exactly
anymore.
Right. That's exactly right. But once you have the, you know, a lot of parents do have the right expectations, but you know, it sometimes happens that they've really implemented it, but it doesn't seem to be making any difference. And so I've identified three kind of problems that are the most common reasons that parents are doing it, but they're still not seeing the results.
Okay,
and that's kind of what I want to go over.
What are those problems? What are those three problems?
The first and most common is what I'd say the problem, if it's not, quote, working. And by the way, what that would look like mostly is we've, you know, given freedoms, we're doing this, but they're just as defensive as ever. They're, you know, they hate our guts, blah, blah, blah. Problem number one is that you may very well, if you haven't gone all in with planned emancipation. And what I mean by that is that there is, and this happens a lot, is that parents are, you know, familiar with lots of parenting stuff. And so what they're doing is the same stuff they've been doing, but because of this planned emancipation thing, this feeding the mouth, we've started kind of backing off more, quote unquote. In other words, we're being nicer. And they think that's a freedoms list. In other words, planned emancipation can't really sit on the shelf with other things, like let's negotiate everything. Well, planned emancipation doesn't require negotiating everything. It is parental, hopefully strong parent units saying, we're out of your life in this and this and this. A lot of times parents will go kind of half-hearted. We did a little bit of backing off and we call that planned emancipation. It is not. I mean, you really have to go all in. And by all in, obviously, again, I don't mean you have to let them do whatever. That's always the false dichotomy that parents worry about. You're just saying our kid can do whatever. No, what we are saying is that you start backing out, but you really go all in on the message. You find every chance you can to say, you know, if you were six, I'd probably be mad at you. But at 17, dude, if that's the way you want to handle it, you know, you want to keep throwing, being creative, more than just the things on the freedoms list. And we've talked about them. There's things like, hey, we're going to have a meeting about this summer's vacation. You little kids need to go, but you two teenagers stay here. We want your input, you know, and just watch them kind of sit up straighter and okay, I think they need, you know, continually signaling that you are no longer a child is what going all in on planned emancipation is. It can't be add a little more backing off. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like, and I even go to the point, and I remember in the book, I actually, I say this, I say, if you're not sure about this whole planned emancipation thing, don't do it. And I remember writing that thinking, do I want to be saying that? Like, well, I'd rather you buy the book and do half of it. No, I'm not kidding. I'd rather you, if you're not in on it, don't do it, because kids, teenagers can tell. I'll sit and say, so how'd that freedoms list go? Oh, Did they? Oh, yeah, they did that. Well, they told me they sat down. Yeah. Well, what? Didn't you get those things? Like, you, they're not bugging you about your room? And they look at me like I'm nuts. Like, I told you, they're not going to do this. Well, they said they'll do it. The kid knows the parents better than the parents know themselves. He's like, no, she's still saying, why have you cleaned your room? Did you eat your lunch? She's still nagging. He's still, you know, doing that thing where, okay, what are your plans for your homework? I'm just asking, you know, it's like still controlling. They can tell. So if you're not all in, really don't do it. Do one of those half-hearted things. And those aren't bad. You know, it's not like feeding the mouth's the only parenting technique. It just happens to have an effectiveness that I don't think others have. But so that's usually the first problem, is you didn't go all in.
Well, I like, there were two things that you said that I really liked. One, I think that we need to clarify again, and we've said this before in other podcasts, that the difference, there's a difference between freedoms and privilege. So the privilege is like, if you behave and handle this well, then I'll give it to you. And if you don't, then I'll take it back, right?
That's right.
Freedoms is saying, no, I'm out of this area of your life. Not every area of your life.
That's right.
Until they're 18, but
right.
I'm out of this particular area. So I think that's one thing that I wanted to note. But the other thing that I really love that you said was going all in also means, you know, including that, you know, 17-year-old on decisions or on things that are going on in the family's life
right.
more than you do the 13-year-old, which, you know, that's hard for me as a parent, because I think about how many times I group my kids together. It's like the kids versus the parents, you know, like all the kids kind of group together. But I really need to be more specific with each one and, you know, invite my 17-year-old to give more input about certain things that are going on versus my 13-year-old, and say to my 13-year-old, hey, love you, girl, but this is something for the adults to talk about, kind of situation where I don't always take that opportunity. And I don't know why. It's probably just like, I don't think about
habit.
It somewhat laziness, you know? Like,
yeah. And another thing about that is that privilege usually is tied to that particular kid. And you'll hear this a lot. Hey, each kid is different. You back off in different time for different kids. I don't agree with that. Our culture doesn't say, oh, you're 18. Let me look at you. No, you're not old enough to vote yet. No, you're 18. That's all you need. You know, you're 16 and you can do a simple driving test. You have to prepare teenagers for their culture. And unless you live in a culture that agrees, you know, that asks the parent, well, your kid's 20. Do you want us to treat him like an adult or not? If you have that culture, fine, but that's not our culture. Your teenager has all this individual difference. Yeah, but they must be ready to manage themselves at the time that the culture says you're on your own. And that is after high school. In most every culture that is listening to us, you know, a young adult that you still declare, well, they're not ready. If they're 18 or 19, they're going to walk away, that you can't do anything about that. You must prepare them for that. So freedom is kind of meeting or preparing to meet that culture that they're headed toward. Privilege is still all in my house and it's all my control. And I know you better than you know yourself. And I'm being nice, all that stuff. So if you're not going to go all in, just don't.
Okay. You heard it.
That's
here.
The most common. A less common is one that I'd say, problem number two is you're not getting full credit for planned emancipation. What I mean by that is that sometimes, and this is a little complicated, but sometimes parents will implement planned emancipation when things are kind of chaotic. Like sometimes when a kid parents haven't done any kind of freedom and the kid is trying to defy their parents through alcohol, for example. Well, you sometimes have the case where they're still following through with a pretty severe punishment. You know, you're grounded for a month because of that drinking party. However, we're also going to implement these freedoms when you're off restriction. Well, that's tricky because you're trying to say, hey, we're beginning to see that it's usually, we went and talked to this Dr. Wilkes student. He told us that when we're trying to be helpful, you take it as you're a kid and we don't think you're a kid. So you start giving that message, but there's still something going on that kind of makes it hard for them to believe that. So you have to kind of revisit that because you may not be getting full credit. Especially once that grounding is over. Remember, a month grounding is kind of like a life sentence. But once the things have cleared up, You want to keep, planned emancipation and freedoms are not a one-time thing. You continually revisit that because sometimes you have given over those freedoms, but your teenager has forgotten, why you've given it over. So you got to kind of restate that because sometimes parents just aren't getting full credit for it. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And I, you know what, honestly, as a parent, sometimes I make sure that my kids know and I get a lot of credit. Like they'll tell me about a situation with a friend and I'll say, wow, I guess their parents haven't really handed that over to them. I don't think I would bother with trying to manage that part of your life anymore.
Yeah.
Get a little extra. Is that bonus credit?
Oh, maybe that's, I think extra that's total. Credit. Throw other parents under the bus is what Jessica's saying. And I think she's right. No, think of the reverse.
There are a lot of situations where you do look around and you think, wow, I'm not trying to manage, your homework anymore. I'm sorry that your 17-year-old friend is fighting with their parents about that.
Exactly. Yeah. The opposite happens when, why do you go over to your girlfriend's house all the time? Well, because they let us do stuff. They treat us, more like an adult. And you're like, well, I don't think those parents are Christian parents or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, if you have numerous things that you've demonstrated that we're backing off, then it gives you actually more power. They'll be at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And then the last one, and this is, again, occasionally, sometimes parents, and this is, I'll just be honest, very often mothers have a way of communicating, just their style of talk is as if their teenager is still a child. In other words, they're doing the freedoms, they're backing off, but there can be sometimes this unconscious still way of talking that is just diminutive of everything that goes on with your teenager. That's not usually a huge problem, but if you do that a whole bunch, then it also detracts from the planned emancipation you've implemented. It's that parent that says, well, he's got a little girlfriend now. And I always say, oh my gosh, he's dating little girls. And she's like, no, it's a junior in high school. I'm like, oh, so not little. You mean he has a girlfriend? It's actually usually the other way around. She has a little boyfriend. Boyfriends are scarier. We like to think that they're little and harmless, but you know what I mean? It's just little things like that. I've commented before about that use of the royal we. Well, we were doing well last year, but then this year algebra has been hard for us, hasn't it? And I always, being the smart aleck that I am, always go, wow, so you're in algebra class with your son? No, I'm just saying. These are just, you know what I mean? Like, in other words, mm-hmm. these parents have given over stuff, but they may have a leftover communication style that is kind of patronizing. And mm-hmm. so it's worth being careful about, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely in that category, not so much about those two examples, but I definitely talk to my kids sometimes like, oh, I don't know. It's leftover mommy baby stuff, like, aren't you just so precious and all of this, but just I'm sure that I know that my kids are, I used to be, I used to have kids in track and they would win a race or something. I'd be, that's my baby, and like, just like totally sauce it on. And my kids were like, please stop doing that. I don't want to hear that anymore. It's just a little bit too much, especially
and
as they get older.
Does their dads, but sometimes parents will pour it on because they know it makes them uncomfortable, which I think is fun.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes yep. I do just to embarrass my kids because, that's part of the fun of parenting. But no, there are times that I know I still talk down to them in this way. And it's simply because that's the way I've always talked to them or whatever. And it's disrespectful, especially in front of maybe their friends or when we're talking about something that's really serious. And I talk about them as if they're still, childish.
I think and what's funny is that another thing that this edition of the book contains is a chapter on grandparents. And when we get to that part, I will mention that for many, depending upon the relationship they have with grandparents, for many teenagers, grandparents get a pass at pouring it on. They'll let a grandparent hand them cookies and, talk down. It can be comforting. They wouldn't take it from parents, but sometimes they'll take it from grandparents and that's all good. That's fine. But yeah, that kind of baby talk can imply that, wait a minute, you said that I'm an adult, but you're still talking like I'm a little kid.
When it's stuff that I'm not even necessarily trying to control, but like, oh, you look so tired. You should da da da.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, they're like, I'm not a 7 year old anymore. I can handle myself, you know?
which just to be clear, that kind of touchiness doesn't mean you've said anything wrong. That's perfectly fine. You have a very touchy teenager, but we're looking to give that message that, wait a minute, all these implications where you think that I'm still thinking of you like a little kid, we're not. And so looking at that, but very often the reason I bring it up, especially about the way you talk, is that it's unconscious. You know, what it's as unconscious as parents of little kids very commonly will give a direct order to a child like they should, but they finish with, okay, all right, you need to go get your shoes and get them on. Okay. That is unconscious at the end, but parents have to be taught, don't put okay, because that makes it sound like we're discussing. You have to, you know, and this is the same thing. It's like, I still am doing the adult thing, but you know, there's nothing wrong with me saying, baby, you got to eat more than that. That's not, yeah, there is something wrong with that. Let their grandmom do that. But you, you know, continue to try to reinforce that we see you as an adult and we're backing off.
That's good advice, especially for a mom who has always loved doting on her kids, but, and that's fine to dote on my kids, but they also need to know that I respect them in an adult way. And that's particularly true for my 17-year-old. I see she's headed out to the world next year. And I think, okay, she needs to be on par with, you know, with the other adults in her life and know that she's respected that way.
That's exactly right. So if it doesn't work, quote unquote, first examine what were you expecting. It's not a trick method that your kid suddenly blossoms. And then look for one of three problems. Either you're not all in which case you have my permission, stop listening to our podcast, don't get the book, and do something different. One of those half-hearted things that kind of mixes stuff. It's not like if you don't do this, your kid's going to always be terrible. But if you're all in, then go all in the message and all that. Secondly, be careful that things haven't gotten confusing because they may have lost the thread of the plan emancipation because of other things going on. And third, be careful about being kind of an accidentally, disrespectful in the way you talking down to them like they're children.
Those are good. And I think it's good too, because I I'm all in on planned emancipation. I've seen what the effect it's had on my family, but sometimes we do backslide a little bit or we forget.
That's true.
You know? And it's just a good reminder when I'm feeling like things are not going well and things aren't working, then maybe I need to evaluate these areas in my own life and parenting and think about it. So thank you, Dr. Kim. This has been a great conversation. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.